Blog Talk Radio.
Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in it."
This is Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 7.
The tent. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. This is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God, because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people, whom you redeemed for yourselves from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. Now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever.
Tomorrow morning, when I first wake up, the first thing I want to think about is the Lord, and I want to talk to him. I'm going to tell him that the Lord today, if you'll guide me, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to do whatever you say, when you say, and how you say. I may not do it the best in the world, Lord, but here's my life today, and I'm going to trust you to meet my needs. Lord, when I look out there, it looks pretty skimpy, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to watch you work. Your life will change. Because you know what? He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. And he wants you to have a sense of peace and joy in your life. So let me turn to Philippians here just for a moment. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now we said Paul's in prison. He knows all about prison life. He's been there so many times. Listen to what he says in this fourth chapter. The whole book, four chapters in Philippians, is all about joy. It's all about peace. And he's writing this from a cold, damp, empty Roman prison cell. Where in the world did he get that? Listen to what he says. He says now in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice how often? Always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And then listen to this. Be anxious for nothing. That is, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, what do you do? By prayer and supplication, crying out to God, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you'll do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you can't figure it out, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at this. He said, the peace of God, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what you're facing, you are one of his children walking in his way, the peace of God will surround you. The peace of God will guard you. The peace of God will provide every single thing that we need. Does that mean no more problems and heartaches? No. But listen, think about this for a moment. And I had the most wonderful testimony from somebody this week. And the last thing they said was, I am so grateful for what I have learned. I couldn't thank God enough for what I've learned. I thought, now, Lord, there's a saint. Because walking through all of this, the answer is, thank you, God. You held me. You've kept me. You supported me. You provided for me. You protected me. You have been to me, God, what you promised to be. And I think about this statement I read somewhere, and listen to what it says. The call of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Look at that. The call of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. So we make a choice. I will fret, fume, and worry, be anxious. Or I'm going to begin my day with him, knowing in my heart that he's going to watch over me, guard me with his peace and love and joy. And he promised to meet every single need I have, so I don't have to worry about that. I may not always like the way he provides, but he's providing what he knows I need. Let me ask you a question. When you go to bed tonight and you wake up tomorrow morning and you put that in your own words, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that you said you're going to provide my needs today. You said you're going to watch over me and care for me. I'm going to be like the flowers in the field, like the birds in the sky flitting around. And no matter what I face, you're there to walk me through it. You're going to keep me. Let me ask you a question. How could you get up and live down in the dumps all day? Well, oh, God, here's what you promised. And God is saying, lift your head up. That's what I promised. That's what I'm trying to help you through this. Here's what it all boils down to. Do you trust him or do you not? And if you're sitting here saying, well, but everybody's not the same. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody God doesn't know? Is there anything he doesn't know? He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows it all. And he has you. If you're one of his children, you trust in him as your Savior. And when he says this passage, all these things, everything he talked about, he says, you can trust me. I'll meet your need. That being the case, what am I going to worry about? What am I going to fret about? What am I going to be anxious about? Watch this now. If I feel a moment of anxiousness, I let it go right on through. Why? Because my Heavenly Father is going to take care of it. If I begin to massage it and think of what I'm going to do, guess what usually will happen? You'll probably end up thinking, God, I can't do anything about that anyway. And most of the time we can't. He is an awesome God. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this won't work. See, what do you mean it won't work? For the simple reason, you have to start out with faith. And it is by accepting his death on the cross and believing that his death on the cross paid your sin debt in full. It's believing that he's willing to save you. It's believing when he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's believing that if you're not willing to start with that, no promise. But if you are, every promise. You have to decide. Will you let him live your life through you? Or will you keep struggling and fuming and come to the end of life and end up with these words? If I'd have believed, if I'd have trusted, if I'd have listened, if I'd have. And the heart right over here is just beating, and finally, it's all over. I would say, a person is a fool not to live for Christ. A person is foolish to turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, because everybody in the world wants Jesus and Paul were talking about. Peace, assurance, confidence, their needs met. But many people go about it in a separate way, different way. If I have enough money, if I have enough prestige, if I have enough popularity, if I get elected to this, you name it, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. The peace of Almighty God guards you, protects you, and supplies your need. Amen. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will sink these simple truths into every heart. And I pray, Father, for those who came loaded with heartache, burdens, anxieties, fears, doubts, worry, that right now in these moments, they would be willing to pray this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I lay down all my worries, all my doubts, all my fears, all my hurts, all my disappointments. And I'm trusting you to fill my life with your peace, your joy, to meet all of my needs in your way, in your time. Amen.